This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show on BFM 89.9. And today, we will bring you a car review. Yes, we have gone and done a car review. But before that, my main man, Arif Roos, will bring you the news.
Yep, so you know how last week everybody was going hoo-ha about the flying car thing?
Yes, really? Yes, I think we had a good laugh.
We all had a good laugh. Yes. And as a result, the Minister of Entrepreneurial Development, Muhammad Rizwan Yusof, kind of defended it. I'm just going to summarize about all the things that he said. Okay. That was like spread across so many different news reports.
True.
First thing, he says that he defended it, saying that Malaysia has expertise that can contribute to national development. We already know about that.
And no, he's quite true there, because you know why? Can you imagine how many years we've been flying kites? We know aeronautical engineering like no one else in the region.
I guess, you know, that makes sense. Yes. Like you said, it's going to sort of like develop the space age technology industry involving stuff like aerospace, drone, unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, etc. And he also added that actually Boeing, Airbus, Volvo, and even Aston Martin have directly contacted the ministry to find out what this flying car is.
Right. Amazing. Because you know what? I understand that two of these companies are not involved in flying at all.
Yeah. that's the one that sent it out. But actually, Aston Martin developed a sort of like a flying car prototype about 2 years ago. They took it for a test flight in Dubai.
Okay.
Created a lot of hoo-ha for about a week and then disappeared.
And that was it.
Okay,
cool.
He also adds that the flying car is not for sale to the general public.
Uh-huh.
He said that it's developed for transport service companies.
Okay.
So apparently Grab has already thrown their name in to try and use this future prototype flying car as a basis to expand their mobility services.
So let me get this straight. It's a flying car not for sale. It's for commercial use.
Yep.
And Grab is interested.
Yep.
To do what? Food delivery or as a taxi?
Both, actually. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they'll be using these cars and drones to sort of like deliver things back and forth, and people as well.
Okay.
That's quite interesting. And then the other thing is that the 1 million ringgit that we were making fun of last week.
Okay.
Like, you know, how we said 1 million ringgit is never going to be enough to develop a prototype, right?
Yes.
He says this is privately funded. So I think, you know, in a way, maybe he expects us to let him go on that.
Okay, let him go on that.
Let's not
harp on this. Every news agency has already made their comments. Let's leave it as it is.
I do have one question, though.
Yes, sir.
Were Malaysians too quick to criticize this?
I think we were too quick to criticize because it bears a lot of resemblance to a joke. I'm sorry, because it just doesn't make sense to go into a flying car project, even if it's for commercial use and not for private use.
Yeah.
When so many companies out there are already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I already did a story on DSF about how Geely owns Terrafugia.
Yep.
And they already have a flying car. And Geely is already in bed with Proton here. So maybe this is a project that should be worked with Geely to bring the project here.
Perhaps, right? That would make the most sense.
Exactly,
right now.
That'll make more sense. But if that makes sense, then of course you can see people like Aston Martin and Volvo really not being too interested. Or was it Volvo that called, or Geely?
That is a good question. That is a good question.
We'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. Moving on. You know how the new national car project, we've heard almost absolutely nothing about
it, right?
It's
been quiet.
I think since they said back in October 2018 or something like that they were going to announce a manufacturer name, the brand name of this new national car project, as well as a prototype.
Yeah. And also battery technology.
Oh, yeah, and the battery technology.
Exactly.
And all of this was supposed to be announced, and now it's March. Nothing has been heard, but we've heard a rumor. The rumor is that the new national car project will be an electric vehicle, but with range extension.
Okay.
So technically, it's a generator just for your
battery.
For your battery. Yeah, it's kind of a good halfway point to electric vehicles. I think.
Right, it is.
I don't think you'll have to rush all the infrastructure around it, right?
And there's no range anxiety.
That is true. You just pump it with petrol.
Exactly. So it's like a plug-in hybrid.
It is. A lot of people are kind of comparing it with when the new national car project was first announced by Tun Dr. Mahathir, you know, he name dropped Nissan and Toyota.
Right. And they have the best technology.
So a lot of people are wondering whether this new national car project will actually be yet another kind of a rebadge.
Maybe a Nissan Leaf? Or the new Toyota Prius?
Yeah, maybe. Would you like that, though?
I would love it because then reliability is, you know, confirmed. Battery tech is confirmed. Battery replacement cost is confirmed.
That is true.
And also, you know that the vehicles have been tried and tested around the globe.
So, I want to take your point on this. Are you somewhat disappointed that this new national car project turned from fully autonomous and electric vehicle, but then suddenly now it's just range extended version?
To be honest, Arif, we all know when the announcements first came out, they all have to be filtered like good coffee. And then you have to decide what you want to take, the little bits and pieces. Just like the earlier statement about the flying car.
Yeah.
Initially, it was, oh, you know, we're going to build a flying car and it's going to be, you know, commercially viable. And then now it's like, oh, it's going to be a big drone.
It's a groaning drone.
Yes.
But anyway, moving on from that Vision 2020 to Volvo's Vision 2020.
Mm, very serious.
Yep. So I think it was a couple of years ago that Volvo kind of made this Vision 2020 thing where they said that by 2020, no one will be killed or seriously injured
in a Volvo.
In a new Volvo car.
Yes.
So I pulled up a quote from their website about it, and they said, in quotes, a Vision 2020 is a way of thinking and working. It's like a religion for the company.
Yes.
And for Volvo, it stands to be quite true, isn't it? They're really focusing on safety, and they have been for the past like 70 years.
Yeah, and think about it. They invented the seatbelt and didn't put a patent on it so everybody in the world could use it for free.
Now, though, they have an interesting plan. So by 2020, they are going to start capping the top speed of their cars to 180 kilometers an hour.
I think this is a capital idea. Because you know why? Everybody is throwing into this hybrid emissions and everything else, but still they have cars that go 250, 260, 270.
Yeah.
How do you save emissions and fuel consumption when you're doing 250, 260? I think capping at 180 makes sense because anyway, even if you're on the Autobahn, 180 is very fast.
It is. It can get you a lot of places very quickly.
Now, whether it's this rule will apply to other manufacturers, I think yes, given enough time.
Why would that be though?
Because why? What Volvo does, a lot of people copy quietly. They don't do it so obviously, but they do actually do it quietly. Like all the Volvo safety systems that started coming in the last 10, 15 years in their cars have slowly been copied by a lot of manufacturers with different names.
Yeah, yeah.
With different branding, but they've done it.
I mean, even back then, like you said, the seatbelt. Exactly. And I think when back then in the 60s, when the cars crashed into a head-on collision, I think Volvo designed a mechanism where the steering collapses and it doesn't stab you.
Exactly. So it's all coming together.
Well, the CEO came out and said that, you know, even if this might not be an effective thing to try and stop, dangerous drivers from speeding and killing themselves, he says it's kind of worth doing even if it can save one life, which is a really positive thing.
Also, it's a social message.
Yeah.
It's a very strong social message. It's saying, we are going to build you powerful cars. We've got Polestar.
Yeah.
With all this power and Olin's and everything else built into it, yet you can only go 180 kilometers.
Yeah. And I think I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
because, you can have like 400 horsepower and it's still go about town in the most fun
way. Exactly. By the time we reach 160, you run out of tarmac.
Yeah.
So that was Arif with the news, and thank you very much. We got a good insight of what's going on in Malaysia right now, but we'll take a short break, and after this we'll come back with our local and foreign car news. This is Cruise Control, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Cruise Control. We are back to serve you all the latest car news, car reviews, and foreign news. And now, Arif has just given us the local news. And after this, he's going to share with us the local and foreign car launches.
Yes, we are. So we are going to start with something that none of us could actually probably afford.
Okay.
It's a Mercedes-AMG S65 Final Edition. This one's quite an interesting car, not only because it's got bronze wheels and a bronze body kit, but because this is the last AMG V12 that we'll ever be seeing. But then again, if I recall, Lamborghini said something in 2012, and they still have a V12 in their lineup. Yes. So anyway, they're sending it off with a really special car, beautifully spec'd, and I don't know if we'll actually miss it because, you know...
we'll never get a test drive it anyway.
We'll never get to test it.
But I know there'll be a lot of diehard car enthusiasts at various temples praying that it'll remain. So we'll leave it at that, you know?
Moving on, also from Mercedes, we saw the new GLC.
Mm.
What did you think of the facelift?
I'm not really taken by the new Mercedes-Benz nose. You know, the rest of the car is fine, but the new nose, I think it's a little bit... I find it, you know, how you'd say, very Korean.
Really?
In its look. That's just personal taste.
I would say it looks kind of brute.
Well, you could say brute, but I don't know. It tends, because the grill is too big.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same problem with BMW, the new cars that are coming out. The grill is too big. Maybe it's an identity thing. You know, the car companies are saying now, instead of having a big logo, I have a big grill.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, the new Mercedes GLC comes with the excellent Mercedes-Benz UX infotainment system, as well as a 48-volt mild hybrid system, which is essentially not quite a hybrid, but is also...
It'll save a bit.
It just helps you out in front of traffic, from stop-start traffic and all that stuff. So it's quite cool. Another facelift that we saw was a Jaguar XE.
Did you actually notice anything?
No.
We actually ran the pictures on DSF side by side.
Yeah.
And it's so small, you hardly notice it. But I think Jaguar is going along the lines of, you know, Porsche. You know, every 911, just tweaks.
I think the car is pretty enough for that. Right?
Yes.
Though I did actually see something. You know, Jaguars, since the XF, they have that weird gear knob thing that rises up.
The one that rises, yes.
So apparently in this new XE... they've actually removed that and put a proper gear lever.
I think you know why they did that.
Why?
I mean, after some time, that thing will stop coming up.
I'm sure. And we all know everything about Jaguar's.
Exactly.
Jaguar's reliability, right?
Yes, yes.
We also saw this excellent car called a Polestar 2.
Tasty
car.
Very tasty. And you know, the power output figures. I mean, 400 horsepower, 660 newton meters of torque.
Yeah, and on top of that, 500 kilometers electric range. That is amazing.
Put the range aside, that kind of power output from an electric car.
Well, you can only probably go to 180 kilometers an hour.
That's also true.
In a lot of fun, I guess.
Yes.
It's basic. It looks like the S60, but on stilts.
You're right. It's so got the Volvo DNA. Right?
Yeah. So I think Volvo and Polestar were saying that it's kind of mishmashing the crossover segment and the sedan segment.
Yes.
Which
is
kind of an interesting look. Hmm. Also, we've got news from Porsche. They've been saying that the next generation Macan will actually be fully electric.
Sad.
I thought you were all onto this electric bandwagon.
Yes, but Porsche electric, you know the word Porsche electric doesn't gel. So far.
And I think I recall something like we went to the Porsche thing a few weeks ago, and then they were mentioning something about a Taycan possibly coming here.
For sure, it's confirmed coming in.
And when they build up all of their showrooms and all that stuff, it's going to include
a special area for the Taycan.
Yep. So that's kind of interesting, I guess. Moving on to local launches, this is the big ones actually.
Right.
Borgward. A German brand bought by a Chinese company
and built in China, but marketed as a German product.
Okay.
And you know why? Because the moment you say a German product, doesn't matter where it's built, because like the iPhone, it's built in China, but it's an American product. Immediately you get a little bit of premium.
So what are we expecting this car to be? I think from the pictures, it's sort of like a small size, mid-size SUV.
Well, if you put it side by side, it's the same size with the Hyundai Tucson, the older Mazda CX-5, the older CR-V. You know, I would say the right size for the present market. Subaru XV size. Something along that lines. Very sharp edge features. Very Germanic in its looks. If you go to the website, it's a very clean, sterile website, which is very European. So I think a lot of European elements in it, but still, made in China, nothing wrong anymore.
Yeah.
Because you have the Geely cars coming in here. So I think this is going to make a big impact. First of all, it looks good, as you see from the pictures in DSF. Secondly, when I touched and felt the car, because I didn't get in the car.
Yeah.
I just touched and felt the car. It was just parked there. I thought, not bad. You know, in terms of paint finish and the way the doors opened and closed. I mean, I didn't open it, but, you know, I clicked the doors.
Everything felt right.
You know, and the alarm didn't go off, so that's good news. I'm thinking about 100, 110,000 ringgit should make it a bestseller, but I doubt it. I think they'll be going for a slightly premium price because German brand.
Yeah, that branding has to be worth something,
yes,
right?
Yes. So maybe 130, 140, which is not going to be a very fast-selling car, but good enough to make an impact in the Malaysian market.
Moving on from one German brand to another, Audi Malaysia is finally back. Woohoo!
Finally. Yeah. Superb news after 2 years.
So they launched 4 SUVs, yes. All the Q models.
It's, correct.
From what I've seen, it's all specced well with a virtual cockpit and as standard. A lot of leather everywhere.
Yes, and it's funny, before you continue, I have to add this. The Singapore spec cars are lower.
Wow. We're some getting them, something better.
Exactly. Not all of them get the virtual cockpit. Not all of them get leather. Not all of them get the big wheels. Not all of them get the BBS cross-spoke wheels, like the one on the Q7.
Wow.
And the funny thing is, all these cars are handled by the Audi Singapore office. Because there's no Audi Malaysia,
not
really.
Yeah.
So Euromobile is still selling the cars and they got 4 other dealers. But these 5 dealers in Malaysia are working with the Singapore office, and yet we get better spec Audis.
That's excellent. I mean, it really shows that I think Audi is coming back with a full force, right?
Full force and with an attitude. You know why I say with an attitude? If you look at the pricing, very simple. The Audi Q2, which sits side by side with, say, the BMW X1.
Yeah.
Or the, let's say...
XC40 maybe.
Yeah. Fully imported, 220,000.
That is really low price.
Okay. Now, and it's the size of a Golf GTI on steroids. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is the competition is about the same size. Now, if you look at the Q5, 340,000 fully loaded. Now, 340,000 CBU car sitting right next to the Mercedes GLC and the BMW X3.
Yeah.
Again, very good price.
It's extremely competitive. Okay. I couldn't believe it when I saw.
But when you talk about the Q7, they've lost the plot.
Why?
Because, you see, you got the X5 and the Mercedes GLC 43 at a cheaper price.
Will the Q7 be coming with like a hybrid?
At the moment, no. So because that's why the price is so high. And anyway, if you look at the Q7, it's slightly a slightly older product. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying to refresh it, but I don't think there'll be enough people to go in there and buy it. So let's put the Q7 aside. Q2, Q5, damn good, right?
Yep.
But the ace, the crown, goes to the
Q8.
Yes.
Is a really gorgeous car. I'm surprised how much I actually like it because it's so huge. And you know, it's so
beautiful.
It's bold and it's powerful. Yes. And it starts at 730,000.
730,000, how can you go wrong?
That's about the same price as the Maserati you love.
Exactly.
So what are you thinking?
But you see, with an Audi, you have to say Audi. With a Maserati, you say Maserati.
I suppose so. Yeah. But anyway, if I'm not mistaken, they're just releasing one model of these cars first.
Well, there'll only be one spec for each Q model.
Yeah.
And remember this, is now all SUVs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next month will be all sedans being launched.
Ah, yes.
The new range of sedans. Whether it'll be all 3 or all 4, we're not sure yet. But they'll be bringing in the sedans. And it'll all be like this, high-spec CBU and the price to compete.
They're really trying to make up for that time lost, man.
Yep.
Also, moving on to another German, the BMW 8 Series is finally open for bookings. I think the 8 Series should come in the 840D.
Yes.
3-liter turbo straight-six diesel. Or an M850i, which is the big 4.4-liter V8. Chances are it's going to be those two because they've only launched those two all around the world too.
Yes. And you know, looking at BMW in Malaysia right now, I think they'll bring in like the 6 GT.
Yeah.
They'll bring in the high spec first and then they'll filter down to the other versions later on.
So I suppose we should be expecting the big boy, M850i.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know, because you're a prominent person with the radio fraternity, they will definitely give you a test drive.
I can't wait.
Yes.
But anyway, I think it's finally time to move on to the big car review.
For the work that I've done.
For the work that you've done.
Yes. So BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control. We've just done all the news and some launches.
Yeah.
And next up will be the test drive review. The Toyota Camry out for a test drive. Now, I'm sure you've seen this car on the road, right?
Yep. It's absolutely gorgeous. Okay. It's huge.
Now, you say huge, you say gorgeous. Now, the previous model?
It didn't excite me at all.
Exactly your point. But the previous model sold like hotcakes. Now, the reason was because they had a 2.0 and a 2.5 hybrid.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest game changer because the hybrid was actually a big car that saved a bit of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2.0 was, you know, your basic family business saloon. Now comes the new Camry. Now, this car, I agree with you. It looks gorgeous. In fact, my wife said the nose of the car looks like a Toyota CHR that's been flattened.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit there. You know, but it's got that flattened look. It looks very wide, very low, very, very spotty.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm a little bit disappointed with the design, the only little thing I'm disappointed with the design is that little Toyota logo is now flat. Like with all the European models, you know, flat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's to include all the radars and all that stuff, right?
Yes, yes. I want to see that logo sticking out a little bit. But never mind. This is a design feature. Maybe it's a pedestrian safety thing. But I took the car out for a test drive, and I got to say this. Number one, that 2.5 engine has gotten a lot of negative remarks from people on Facebook.
Because it's old, isn't it?
It's not old. It's a carried over engine. But you got to understand something. Toyota have always sung the same song. Reliability, low maintenance, zero problems.
Yeah.
And this is an engine that delivers all three and more. On top of that, they're using back the same simple, straightforward gearbox.
Is it a 6-speed?
Yeah, it's a 6-speed gearbox and it works perfectly well. Now, when I got into the car, beyond the looks of the exterior, which I thought was really, really, really handsome looking, and if you put it side by side with the Lexus ES, yes, the nose is different, but the rear is exactly the same.
There's that little hunch on the back, on the top of the boot, behind the windows.
So then if you get into the car, then you notice the biggest change. This Camry has really grown up in terms of everything, in terms of, you know, the dashboard leather on top, the soft touch metal, the soft touch features, the metallic trim, the wood finish. I mean, everything has grown up to almost Lexus standard.
And like, because when I looked at all these photos that you posted up on DSF.my, it really showed that exactly, because the previous Camrys were just
blend.
Seemed so old and so boring, and to spice things up, maybe they just put a bit of aluminium on it.
Yes.
But this one really feels like they put some time into it and they designed it with all the little contours and they've selected all the materials. So it's really, I feel like it's the car that the Malaysian businessman deserves.
Exactly.
Finally.
And you know, the steering wheel is a proper, you know, it's a proper nicer feel on the steering wheel. And what we also notice is the stock controls. They've got new stock controls now. It's a small thing, but you know, previously they always just carried over. So a lot of things have been changed and upgraded. Yes, the engine and gearbox is carried over, but a lot of, I would say nearly everything else is brand new. Now, so you get in the car, you got nice mood lighting, you got all this good quality materials, soft touch, metallic trim, wood trim, everything else. Plastic fit and finish, good. Rotary dials all have a very fluid, tactile feel to it. So we took it out for a test drive. This is where you start feeling the weight of the car. Because it's a normal aspirated 2.5 engine, this car is not eagerly excitable, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a 1.8 turbo or a 2-liter turbo.
It's a very lazy engine.
It's a lazy engine. But it's a lazy engine for a reason. It gives you very good fuel economy. But when you put it in sports mode, it actually changes its attitude. And you also see the fuel economy changing. So you got to decide. You want a fast car? You go and buy something else with a turbocharger.
Yeah.
And then you complain about fuel economy. You want something to just cruise, you know, bring your business colleagues inside, go for your business meetings, or just use it as a family car with a lot of space. I think this car has ticked all the right boxes. It may not be the best in its class, but for all the boxes, it's ticked the right kind of boxes. You know, to make it viable for you to actually take it for a test drive. Don't just look, okay, you know, some people say, oh, I want a 10-speed gearbox. I want a 9-speed gearbox. When it starts giving you problem four years down the line, you're going to make noise.
Yeah.
And honestly, the fuel saving between a 6-speed and 10-speed is so small.
If anything, the 10-speed complements cars with much lower torque.
Yes.
Turbocharged engines.
Exactly.
And this combination, if it's worked before, chances are it will still work.
Why mess with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you get inside, you also got, you know, wireless charging now, which some premium German cars
still don't have.
Sounds silly, but at least there's a place for me to lay my handphone and charge it.
Yeah, yeah.
Without bringing a cable. And, you know, this is something which I think the Germans, I've got to say this, the Germans have taken their premium car brand image for granted long enough. The Japanese and Koreans are pushing hard to come up to their level and saying, hey, watch out. We're knocking at your door.
Yeah, I got to agree, because from the moment Kia released their Stinger, and from the moment, in fact, when I saw the first press photos of this Toyota Camry, it really bridged that gap between premium and what is called, I guess, a regular car.
Exactly. Now comes a little thing called absolute comfort. Why I say absolute comfort? Because generally, the Toyota Camry is always competed with the Honda Accord.
Yeah.
and the Nissan Tiana. The mm-hmm. Nissan Tiana is no longer on sale in Malaysia. But, you know, it's always been known as the uncle car category.
Yes.
You know? So, which of these? Tiana was the king of the uncle car.
Yep.
Camry was the next uncle car. And then the Honda was the uncle car trying to be a bit young. Like,
yes, yes.
The Honda was a little bit more dynamic, the Accord. But now this Camry has actually become a little bit more dynamic. Because if you actually push it around corners, yes, it wallows a little bit because it's supposed to be very comfortable. But it actually holds its ground very well.
That's very interesting because usually Toyota is the more relaxed and
boring,
you know, boring style. But yes. If I'm not mistaken, in US also they are selling an almost sports version of this.
Yes, but with a bigger engine.
With a bigger engine.
Yes.
And it's really kind of set the tone for how people were talking about this car.
Yes.
They were saying like, you know, this is a brand new Camry, even, yes, you know, despite the engine.
Correct.
But they were saying that, you know, it's a brand new image for, yes, the buyers. And I suppose I should ask you, you know, does it achieve that? Is it still an uncle car?
I think it's still an uncle car. But, you know, now the uncle wants to be a bit more younger. You know, uncle looking for young girlfriend. No.
An uncle that wears trainers and not leather shoes,
yes,
I guess.
You see, the thing is, when I took this car out, at first I was a little bit, you know, Camry, you know, a little bit boring. That's fine. But I was in heavy traffic. And my whole drive in heavy traffic was so relaxed because this is what the car does. You know, 8-way power seat, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the wonderful JBL sound system and everything is in easy reach. But at night when I took it out, just to get some excitement out of it, then I really saw what the Camry had to offer beyond just being an uncle's car. And, you know, I think that word uncle's car, it's something that is not bad, you know.
Yeah,
It shouldn't be looked at as bad. And if you think about it, Toyota have made an effort to make it look aggressive also in terms of the new aggressive nose,
yeah,
and the rear end. And then now comes that whole new luxurious interior. So yes, they've not really taken away that image. But if you think about it, you're looking for a business vehicle. You're looking for a family vehicle. You want to be sitting in traffic in comfort, which is 80% of your driving time.
Yeah.
If I'm looking to race around the city, then this is not the car for it. Let's be honest about it.
Why would you be racing in a Camry?
Exactly.
Why would you?
Yes. But if you look around, how many Toyota Camrys from the last 20 years or Honda Accords from the last 20 years do you see tuned with big wheels, big spoiler?
Yeah, yeah.
Not many. Because people who buy these cars are sensible commuters that want luxury. And this is what the Camry provides.
Very excellently put.
Yes.
So, is there anything else you want to add?
I want to share the performance figures. Not to say it's great. Okay, it's a 2.5.
It's four-cylinder.
Yeah, four-cylinder, 2494cc, dual VVT-i, 184 brake horsepower, 235 newton meters. Decent power. The 0 to 100 time is about 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, 6-speed gearbox. The price, this is where the previous Camry at this level was 180,000. Now comes a Camry at 189,900. This again, when I posted the story yesterday afternoon, within about 2-3 hours, there are already some negative comments about, you know, why is the price higher?
Yeah.
Why is it the carryover engine and all that? People don't understand. There's currency exchange. You know, you add in the JBL system, the 8-way power electric seat. You add in all the extra safety features. All this costs money. The bigger screen, you know, the heads-up display. All this costs money. So you can't get a better car at a cheaper price.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, this is
the only
model
variant,
so
only
far.
Variant. Yes.
Right.
So we're waiting for the 2-liter. I'm hoping the 2-liter comes in to, you know, bridge that gap,
yep,
between the Altis and the rest. But, you know, Toyota has not confirmed anything yet. The only thing they've confirmed to me is coming soon will be the Toyota Yaris.
Oh.
That's for another weekend.
Okay. Very excited about that.
Yes.
So, 189,000 ringgit,
oh, yes,
is the price. That puts it quite close to the top spec Mazda 6.
Correct. And the Mazda 6 is fully imported.
This is locally produced.
Yes. But, you know, it's from the region, you know. It's,
yeah,
a regional car, so it doesn't matter. But the Mazda comes directly from Japan. So the Mazda has got a little bit of an edge in terms of, you know, maybe paint quality and all that. But it's something which you can't really see. You got to touch and feel.
Yeah.
But most important thing now is if this car is in your price bracket,
mm-hmm,
think about just test driving it before completely dismissing it. Okay.
And there you have it.
Okay. So you're going to give me a 5-point or 6-point check?
7-point today.
7-point. Okay, good.
One extra. So, okay. First things first, who are its competitors and how does it compare?
Okay, competitors for now would be the Mazda 6,
mm-hmm,
the one with G vectoring.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, the current Honda Accord. Now, I want to also put into the mix another car, which I think a lot of people will say, this guy is talking absolute nonsense. But I think a Kia Optima should be in the mix.
I agree. Because the Kia Optima, is, I think, is too good to be left out of the discussion.
Because the spec sheet on the Kia Optima is very high. It is a big car. It's long, it's wide, it's got a lot of space. Yes, it's Korean, but there's nothing wrong in putting it in the mix. So I think these are its direct competitors. And, you know, you have to drive each and every one of them to decide what fits your little, you know, senses.
So next question, what do you like about it?
What I like about it, I like the cabin. I like the cabin features. I like the cabin comfort. That's the, my biggest draw to this car.
Totally agree. What don't you like about it, though?
Okay, what I don't like is the fact that it's a 2.5. I think it should have been a 2-liter turbo or a 2-liter hybrid.
I agree. But it's the same with Mazda because they're still running 2.5 four cylinders it's not quite powerful enough and the road tax is much higher than everybody else.
The Europeans are all downsizing and these guys have not come to the game yet because the Toyota Harrier is a 2-liter turbo. I'm thinking, hey.
There's a free engine there.
Yes, adapt it.
Okay, so next question. How quote-unquote new is this Camry and how much better is it?
It is all new. Apart from the engine gearbox. But, you know, even when they say the engine gearbox is carried over, they have done some tweaking. Just like with the Vios, they use the same engine and gearbox, but they always do some tweaking. So something has been done.
So it's a lot better than the previous gen.
It is a lot better.
I've asked this just now, but from a styling point of view, is it still an uncle's car? Can a 29-year-old entrepreneur who listens to Enterprise on BFM buy it?
Okay. I think it's not an uncle's car if it's in the right color. And I would say the right color will be white. Because it's got a lot of black and grey bits on it.
Yeah.
So I think it'll go nicely white. Because the test drive car in DSF is all maroon, maroonish red. It's a nice colour, but it's a very uncle colour. Especially when I was driving, you know, everyone looked and said, oh, uncle driving, you know.
That's just the car for him.
Yes. But, you know, also because I'm Indian, you know, red, you know. But I think in white, because I've seen the American version, the American pictures of the American version, which is comes in white and a different set of alloy wheels, it really looks quite intimidating and I would say handsome.
I totally agree. It's a very handsome car in white.
Yes.
Next question. Should you wait for the Camry Hybrid if it comes?
Well, at the moment, I've not given a date. So it could be as long as a year. Mm-hmm. It could be as little as third quarter or fourth quarter. But we don't know because they're not saying anything to us. So if you're already in the market for a sedan, if you're going to wait, unless you got something really nice you're driving right now, then maybe you wait.
Yeah.
But if you think you really need to change your car, then there's no harm in looking at this car.
Final question. We've all seen the new Honda Accord, the 2019 Honda Accord. It's just been launched in Thailand.
Yes.
I think it's going to be coming here in maybe quarter three or quarter four.
Yes.
Should you wait for that or buy this?
Okay. In terms of Honda, I know they're going to outdo this car in terms of, you know, features. And, you know, everything that this car has got, they'll just add one here, one there, just to make it better because they know that this car is out already. But in my personal opinion, I'm not taken by the new Honda Accord looks. I like the current one. The new one, I'm not a big fan because it looks like a grown-up Civic.
It does.
The Civic, to me, is just the right size and shape. But with the Accord stretching it, I'm just not taken by the shape. That's just me.
Sure, fair enough. There you have it. That was the review of the Toyota Camry 2.5V. Yes.
So, you know, this week we had a good show on Cruise Control. We had some news. We talked about the flying car.
Flying cars.
We talked about
Volvo's Vision 2020.
Yes, but the biggest thing I think we had this week was the Audi Q range coming to Malaysia. And this Toyota Camry test drive. And you've been listening to Arif, who brought us the news, and Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. This is Cruise Control, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.